All right. Brother Mark will open up our convention today with his discourse entitled Watching. Watching. Brother Mark.
Good morning, brethren. We appreciate very much the privilege to be with you today. It is a little different than a Zoom screen, isn't it? It's kind of nice. Sister Ella wanted her love conveyed to the brethren. We have some construction going on at the house, and they did not finish it last weekend because of some problems, and we ended up having to take care of that. So brethren, the topic of the convention is how the Lord helps us make our calling and election sure. And that's a wonderful promise that we have, that he's going to be faithful with what he's done. But we also believe there are things that we have to do also to make sure that we are faithful, that we are able to make our calling and election sure. And one of these scriptures is in front of us here in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things which shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. This is a very direct statement. It's a formula. If you would like to be worthy to escape and stand before the Son of Man, in other words, make your calling and election sure, you have to watch. This isn't a maybe, it's not a kinda, whatever. It's a command. It's non-optional, you might say. And I'm sure we're all very aware of that. Well, we wanted to mention we the brethren from Hope, Indiana wanted their love conveyed to you also. So what are we going to discuss today? We're going to talk about how we can watch and some of the things we're watching for, and also some ways that we can watch better. So first we're going to talk about the importance of watching. Why is it important? We're going to talk a little bit about some of the current views of brethren that have on what we should watch for. There's obviously, since we are not the Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody's the same, we all have different views. And that's not a bad thing, especially in prophecy, because, well, we'll get into that, but we don't have to have a solid view of prophecy right now. How we watch and what are some of the tools that we use to watch. Some of the events that we're looking for, not all, because we'd be up here for 3 or 4 hours, right? Talk about them in depth. Understanding the actors and the events that are portraying all around us today. A method to apply what we see and what we do with it. And then we're going to talk about a case study from the past, a case study from the present, and then we'll summarize our thoughts. Watching and praying. It implies we know what to watch for, doesn't it? We can't just say, I'm going to watch the news every night and I've done my part, Lord. Now it's up to you. No, it doesn't work that way. We have to study and understand what it is that we're looking for. This takes time. You have to take time out of your events. I have to take time out of my events. And that's hard, especially in the world that we live in today, because everything wants to think of your time. One small but little example is, how many advertisements do you see a day? Everybody wants your time. They might try to grab it a second at a time, or 10 seconds, or 30 seconds, but they are trying to get your time. And Satan's, of course, is going to be there, and the evil spirits, and going to be trying to take time away from you also. Study is required. We have to obtain knowledge, apply it, obtain knowledge, apply it. That's the formula. Now, this is something that we all know, but I believe it's important for us to remind ourselves, because we're going to forget, just as sure as anything. The other thing that's come up where we're at today in the world is we have to keep our body under while we're watching. You might have been raised in an environment that conservatism was important. Patriotism was important in the high school you went to. And those are things that formed your ideas. Maybe you went to a school that was more liberal and had more liberal ideas. We have to suspend those feelings, brethren. While we're watching, we have to be watching, not making an evaluation, not making a judgment, not saying what's right and wrong, Because there's only one thing that's going on that's right now, and that's the Lord's work. Everything else has got a measure of good and bad in it. So we have to keep our body under while we're doing this watching, and that can be a challenge, a great challenge for all of us. Now, we might say, well, why couldn't the Lord just give us a sign, right? Why can't we just have the Lord come down and say, here you go? Because the effort is what develops that character. Our Lord was talking about a verb of watch. That develops our character. In fact, he says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. We shouldn't ask the Lord to say, hey, here's how it's going to go for you. We have to dig into it. Now, an example in modern time that we have is setting dates. Now, those of us that have been in the truth for a while, we remember people talking about 1954, which seemed very logical, right? 40 years? That makes sense. 1980, remember that? With the lunar and this, everybody had it all figured out, didn't they? 1994, I could go on and on and on. We have dates that are being set today. That's looking for a sign. And the Lord calls that bad. He calls it bad. But if you want a sign, I'll give you a sign. Here's a sign for you. Now, we have to interpret this sign, right? So what it's saying is you have to live in Indiana to be part of the 144,000 so you can go up, right? That's the problem with signs. Someone's always trying to interpret it. Now, that would be ridiculous. But if you want to come to Indiana, we'd love to have you. You know, don't take it wrong. But that's the problem with signs, and we should avoid signs completely. Now, we would like to say one thing. There's a reason why the Lord doesn't tell us what they are. He didn't tell us the future. He wants to. He likes to. He told Abraham, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. But if he tells you, then the demons are going to know. And Satan's going to know. Because they can read our minds. Now, there might be things that we know that we have faith in, but they think they can stop, right? They think they can stop what the Lord's going to do. So we have that knowledge. But to have concrete, specific knowledge of when something's going to happen, the Lord's not going to give it to us. Now, among the different brethren we have, there are different views on prophecy. And we're just going to summarize these into lump sums, which is really dangerous because everybody has a nuance of their view of what they believe. And we're not going to get into the nuances. Again, we'd be here for an hour or two. But there's a present view and a future view. The past view says most everything happened before in 1914. Now, that's a very big generalization, and that's not fair to the view, but that's kind of the thought, that we're just getting ourselves ready. The present view is that nothing's really going on. It will. You know, the time for restitution has not started yet. The Lord's not reigning, but it will. It will, right? And the future view is everything's in the future. We're still waiting for everything in the future. Today I'll be sharing our perspective of what we've proven to be true, but it's not the only, it's not 100% right. I know that. None of us have 100% right of the prophecy. So we want to sit and talk about it, but we'll be sharing our thoughts on this. And since it's prophecy, as the old saying goes, don't be like cement, all mixed up and set in your ways. Have some openness to what you might believe. All right, now I think most of us maybe have a share of three of those, right? I believe 1874 obviously was in the past. 1878, 1881, you know, 1914, so a lot of things happened in the past. I think things are happening right now in the present. And I think we all know there's going to be things in the future. So we kind of have a share of that. But this is an interesting take on it from Brother Russell. He says in reprint 53:17, he says, it would be very unwise for us to speculate on anything not revealed in the Bible. We prefer to keep our eyes open and not allow our minds to specifically dwell on any one theory. Our confidence, this is wonderful, our confidence is not in any one method, but in the one who has all power. We feel sure that all he has promised will be fulfilled. It is not necessary for us to decide the point in our own mind, even, let alone mention it to others. So if we have a theory, we might want to just keep it to ourselves. But if we have concrete evidence that things have happened, like 1948, we shouldn't keep it to ourselves. We should talk about it, right? And encourage one another. So the tools that I use, I suspect, are the same tools that you use. The prophets of the Old Testament, especially where the apostles and our Lord clarified them. The wisdom from Christ in his own words. And we're going to get more into that. It's not just his words. It's not just his actions. But the situations he created by those two. And that's nuance. The apostles' words, we all use that, I'm sure. Brother Russell's thoughts. We do not believe that a person can be faithful in watching without the use of the seventh messenger. That may not be shared by all, but that is our viewpoint. And we would encourage all to go back and read things. I've read things just recently. In the last 2 weeks, there are a few things that I read that, that makes sense now. I didn't have before. Items that I consider to use as a reference, but I do not consider as a primary tool. Thoughts from other brethren. I know we're faithful and trusted the above tools. So as an example, Brother Eugene's site on Revelation. I use that. It's not the same as the apostles' words, but I do use those. And, of course, historical sources that align with the tools we have. As an example, there's a book, very thick book. I only read the first two or three chapters. That's all I needed, called "The God's Banker," which talks about what happened to the Vatican since 1799 to about 1923 from a financial standpoint. Fascinating. It aligns so much with what we believe. Of how they were wounded in 1799. They didn't recover until 1923 fully. Fascinating. Now, we are like you, I'm looking, I'm watching, and adjusting. So we're welcome to hear any viewpoints a brother might have. And we should be looking, watching, and adjusting. Looking, walking, and adjusting. Now, I'm not going to change my mind on the ransom, neither are you. But there's some things in the future I might change if I can see where the Lord's leading us. So we want to kind of go back to this thing, and this is, I'm sorry, I didn't do it properly, but one of mine among you was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar, Ezekiel 9:2. There is a tendency, we believe, that has been growing since the 1970s, 60s, 70s, of putting Brother Russell down and marginalizing him. Yeah, he said this, but I've got this. Read my book instead of Brother Russell's. So on and so forth. We don't believe that's helpful. And of course, we have the liberty to do whatever we want, brother. But we do not believe a person can be faithful by marginalizing the seventh messenger. Why? He spoke about in Scripture, not Brother Mark, and not the other elders that are speaking. He's in Scripture. I'm not. I hope not to be mentioned of those that go into second death or the great company. Then I'll be mentioned in Scripture. But I hope to be mentioned post as being part of the 144,000. Now, there's a view that's been put forth of bringing in Revelations 19:10. And I fell at his feet and worshipped him. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. Now, some have suggested that that's what we do with Brother Russell. I'm sure they have a reason for suggesting that. But it's been our experience just the opposite. That Brother Russell is not respected. Now, I do not have a Brother Russell shrine at home. I don't worship him. But I'll tell you, if you come and tell me something, and I have a words from the Apostle Paul, and it says this, and you're suggesting this, well, then I'm going to go with the Apostle Paul. Nothing against you, or against me. If I say something that's against the Apostle Paul, I'm not worshiping the Apostle Paul. I consider him my professor. I consider him my teacher. Same with Brother Russell. I don't worship Brother Russell. But I'm going to take his word over someone else's because he's mentioned in Scripture. I'm not. And the other elders are not. So let's move on if we can. What are some of the things that we're looking for? One is we're looking for the gathering of the nations. Revelation 16:14. And they are the spirits of devils, look, working miracles, which go into the kings of the earth, of the whole world, to gather them to battle the great day of a God Almighty, Revelation 16:14. Therefore wait ye upon him, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Hey, we know that, right? Has it happened? I'm starting to wonder if it hasn't already happened. And I'll give you an example from the last month. Charlie Kirk was assassinated. Don't care about his politics, don't care about him. I feel very sorry for his wife and children. But I have no skin in that game at all. But what happened? Within a week, they had demonstrations in Korea. A major Buddhist country. They had demonstrations in England. And it wasn't just two or three. There were millions that showed up in England. London was shut down. And if you see the pictures, they're all over the place. United States, the same thing. Look what happened in the United States. If you went against what Charlie Kirk and his family and social media, you were shamed and you lost your job. Coordinated effort. We believe that the nations, to a very large extent, have been gathered financially, socially, socially. So we're looking to see this increase and become tighter and tighter. So, this is great. This is good news. We can check one off the list potentially. Like I said, we don't want to get ourselves set in concrete. What are we looking for worldwide disruptions? And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as there was not since the men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more will I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Hebrews 12:26. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works thereof shall be burned up. Do we see worldwide disruptions? We do. We do. And we're going to take a case study in a little bit here talking about one of the disruptions. We are seeing disruptions everywhere. An example, in the last week and a half, what has happened to the silver market has changed the world. Now, just a real thing. Let's say that I have $100 ounces of silver, right? And I have someone come in and say, I'd like to borrow that silver for 3 hours. I want to sell it to somebody and get it back. I'm going to arbitrage it. What that means is silver selling in China for $5 less. I'm going to sell that silver you've got to someone over there on a contract, just a piece of paper. And they're going to pay me that for $5, and they're going to give it back to me in 30 days. I'll say, okay, I'll just take this and put it over here in the vault, and we'll put it over here in the corner, and that'll be under your name, and you can do that. And this happens all the time. A contract is about 20,000 ounces, and there are 600 contracts that are open right now in the LBMA, in the London bullion market. Now, not to get real technical, but what people do is say, well, you know what? They don't know what I just did with that silver. I'll go get five other people to lease that silver also, and they do. So now that same silver has maybe five people that are attached to it. And nobody knows because it's all paper floating around, right? Right now, the ratio is for every ounce of silver, there's 600 contracts on that 1 ounce of silver at the LBMA. So what happened? Well, someone decided to say, hey, in this contract, it says I can get the physical. I want the 100 ounces. And then someone else said, yeah, I want my 100 too, and I want my 100 also. Now they're scrambling to get that silver to people. Because by contract, they have to, so they're flying silver from New York, and they're flying it from everywhere to cover that. And they're not doing too well. This is just an example of one disruption. With one market that's so small, the silver market is very small in this world. but it's causing all sorts of disruptions. We should be looking for these things. They will finally accumulate and become an earthquake. It just won't be silver. It'll be gold. It'll be copper. It'll be whatever in the financial markets. The whole financial market is based upon fraud. They call it leverage. They'll call it many other things. Fractional reserve banking. Doesn't that sound nice, fractional reserve banking? What that means is that I've loaned the same dollar to 100 people. It's fractional. You have a fraction, they have a fraction, everybody's happy. It's fraud. And that's one of these. We're looking for these. Just the last week, brother, let alone what's happened in other areas too. We're also looking for the four winds. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice of the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, to have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. All right. I had a little problem with my laptop, so bear with me, brethren. This is my backup laptop. What are the four winds? Brother Russell says that they are war, doctrines, trouble, violence. But in reprint 48:22, he says it's the demons. That makes a lot of sense to us. Why? Well, they're not being bound right now. They're being loosed. Satan's being bound. And we're going to see in a moment where Brother says that starts to tear this apart. That's where he comes into his household. They're starting to separate. And what Satan thinks is a good idea, the demons are out doing something else. So this is reprint 4609. I've read this and read this and read this. And this week, another thing popped out at me. Again, these are how we use the volumes and the reprints and the scriptures. We're going to show a scripture recently that just popped out to us. We said we never saw it in there. And what constitutes this house of the strong man? He's talking about the binding of the strong man. He comes to his house. Would be another matter. His house here would stand for his household, which at present include the fallen angels. So in 1874, the Lord came and grabbed a hold of Satan and started binding him. But the demons he left alone. And they're like, what? Really? You're leaving it? Let's go out and have some fun. And so they start to go out and start seeing what they can do. And they try some things, and the Lord doesn't stop them. They try some more things, and then they just start going wild. These fallen angels who have been subject to Satan for their prince will in some sense of the word be thrown out of harmony with him. We think that's happened. The time at which we might expect this would be in a second presence of our Lord. And it would seem that from that time of our Lord's presence, disorder began to operate in Satan's household, and that these different endeavors that we see in many quarters carried out certain schemes, more or less antagonistic to the one to the other, might be the result of this disorganization. Now, what is he saying there? He's saying in 1874, when our Lord's being bound, Satan's going out, and Satan can't stop. Now, Satan's in a rough spot, and we're happy for that. Right? The Lord comes in. First, he comes in as a divine nature. That's just got to burn his beans. He's wanted to be like God forever. And now the Lord's on the divine nature. Oh, that really had to get him ticked off. Good. He didn't deserve it. Our Lord does. So he's got now our Lord present. He's getting bound by light. The demons are going off. His papacy's having trouble. Everything's falling apart. Good. Then this is the part that really started to solidify in our minds. More or less antagonistic one to another might be the result of this organization. It would further seem that there are different bands of evil spirits working upon humanity. We're going to talk about how you can identify that with the process. But we look around us today. Where is the evil happening? It's happening here, 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 here. Satan's trying to get the old band back together. He's trying to get papacy back where it needs to be. That's his masterpiece. They're out doing all sorts of things. This we can see. Brother Russell, right there, various hostile bands. We're seeing it right in front of us. May work a great deal of havoc, perhaps equally as much as they would have done had they remained organized relationship to Satan himself. Do we not see havoc in the world today? But still, the undermining or overthrow of this authority seems to be in progress. We believe that every advance step of light and knowledge is that much of restraint upon darkness, evil, and superstition, and especially against Satan, because he uses darkness, evil, and superstition more than maybe the demons do. Now, since 1874, really 1799, the players were developing. And we must keep our perspective. Have you ever gone to a movie or watched a movie and you fell in love with a character? And you're like, oh, that's really, oh, I like that character. And halfway through the movie, they kill him off. And you're like, why did they do that? I need to call that director and let him know. This was just ridiculous, right? Okay. Our Lord wrote this movie. God's plan is the movie. Jesus is directing it. It is a movie, brother. The audience is us and the whole world. You say, well, it's still playing out. Well, it's just playing out. It's a fait accompli. It's going to happen. As with any good play, it has cast of thousands. But it's just a movie. It's already going to happen. So in any good movie, you've got the good guys. And who are the good guys? Now, sometimes in the movies, you might have a guy that's a really good guy, and you might have some that are not so good, right? But they're still good, right? Well, you've got our Lord. He is the good guy in his church. He has the white hat, right? Now, you got another group that's got a beige hat. They're not exactly white. And that's the Lord's great army. They're just not as good as our Lord. But that's okay. He's kind of hired him as contractors to go out and do some work for him. And they're going to go out and destroy the earth. He doesn't want that. If you hire a contractor, you're not going to ask him, you know, do you kick your dog at night? If they're going to come in and you know, fix your house, you're not going to ask them that. You just want them to go fix your house. When they fix it, they leave. They may not be morally well, but they're going to fix your and do a good job on your house. Same with the Lord's great army. They're not the greatest moral people in the world, but they destroy the system, and that's important. Now, you've got the villains. Any good movie has villains. Satan, obviously, is our arch enemy. He has been ever since the very beginning. Certainly opposed our Lord right off the bat. Out from the desert to learn, and boom, he hits him right away. We have the demons, right? And those that align with them. Now, this is an important scripture. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk a little bit about what we're going to do for the rest of this. We were looking in our own personal, trying to figure out a decision tree of how to figure out what's going on, right? And what we found out that what we'd come up with in our own mind was actually something that an intelligence agency uses to figure out what people are doing on the other side of the earth. It's called adversary intent modeling. You look at a person's motives, goals, and methods. How they act, why they act, the ideological, strategic, economic experiences, goals, what they aim to achieve, territory, gain, disruption, influence, or methods, how they operate, tactics, tools, doctrines. If you can determine these about your adversaries, then you can figure out what they might do or why they're doing what they're doing. All right? So, and the Lord and the scriptures support that too. So, who are the forces in the earth today? There are only three forces. You might say, well, Brother Mark, what about Democrats and Republicans? What about, you know, conservative labor in England? No, there's only three forces. All the rest of them are following one of these three. Christ and the church, backed by the almighty power of God. They're going to win. They're the winners. Already done it. Satan. He's limited, and more and more, getting more limited. And then you've got the evil spirits. Every force you see in the earth is driven by one of these three groups, period. So if we take sides in this, at all, we're probably not on Christ's side. If we're trying to say, well, what they're doing in Congress is just wrong. Well, probably. I think if you if you want to make a bet of whether someone's doing something right or wrong in Congress, I would take the side that's probably doing something wrong. You're probably going to win that bet. But that's not the point. Who cares? If they're doing the Lord's work, if they're part of that Lord's great army, great. Not our choice. We have to keep our flesh down on this. Romans 6:16 is an important scripture to understand what's going on around us today. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or in obedience unto righteousness. If we went back in time and sat down with the Pharisees and said, hey guys, what's going on? Hey, we just got rid of this guy named Jesus. He was what a problem he was. So, well, did you think you might have been on God's side on that one? Oh, no, we're on God's side. We're the oracle. We keep the oracles. You say, well, a person's intent is important. Well, it's not the end and be end all. It's not the only virtue that we need to look at. Many people in the world right now are taking the side of Satan, the demons, and they don't even know it. And that's okay. That's going to be fixed in the kingdom. As Brother Russell says at the beginning of the fourth volume, he says, this is not about individuals. That's for the kingdom. Don't worry about individuals. Don't worry about whether Donald Trump's a nice guy or not. I don't know if he's a nice guy. I've never met him. Don't care. But if he tears down some of this, I'm going to go up and pat him on the back and say, good job. You know, because I want it gone. I want it to be go. But I don't have to judge him as a person right now. I don't care if he's a good person. Again, if he's serving Satan, he's serving Satan. If he's serving Christ, he's serving Christ. That's determined in the kingdom. But someone, whoever they are, is serving one of those three. Christ and his risen Lord, the risen saints, Satan, and the evil spirits. Okay, yeah, sorry, brother. All right, so items to consider about these three powers. They're all, you can't read that, I'm sorry. They're all opposed, and each wants the other's destruction. That's important. All three of these want the other one to go bye-bye. The demons want Satan gone, so they can do what they want to do and not have his problem. Satan wants them stopped because they're messing up the place. And our Lord is going to destroy them all. He's going to take them all out. Satan gets a reprieve for 1,000 years, but he's going to go bye-bye. All right. They all react to each other in different ways. Our Lord kind of lets light out, sees what the effect is. Let's light out, see what the effect is. And it starts messing with him. He'll send a targeted light over here to Satan, and that messes up his plans. He'll send over here to the... He's sending out this light. They're going to react. Satan's going to react in one way. He's going to say, I got to get my papacy back where it needs to be. And the demons are going to react with violence. And there is a distinct behavior each have. And the scriptures tell us about that. Jude tells us about the behavior of the demons. The scriptures are replete with examples of what Satan does. And we know what our Lord does. We're studying him every day. All right. And each have a long-term strategy of their plan. Each have a desire to do things. So let's take a look and put it on a chart. All right. On the left-hand side of this chart, you see the players. We talk about their motives. What are their motives? Well, our Lord's is to serve God, period. That means an awful lot. That's all he wants to do. Satan wants to be like God. And the demons are out for revenge and destruction. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. How do we know that? Goals. The goals, and these are not all the goals, brethren. These are just some of the goals. Highlights. Complete the church, bind Satan and release his household, judge the demons, destroy the nations. Those are the top five you've got. Four. Satan just wants to keep the band together. He wants to restore papacy. He wants to recover lost ground. He wants it back to had it in the Dark Ages, which was very effective. And the demons, according to Jude, tells us they're just evil, evil, evil. And they're going to go out and explore their freedom. tools and weapons. Well, our Lord just only uses has one weapon, light. Very effective. Very effective. The papacy, darkness, lies, and light. Eventually, he'll use light. Satan will. And then lies and lovers of evil. So they're going to align themselves with people that love evil like they do, and they're going to lie and deceive people. The results are, obviously, the kingdom established, Satan's bound, and they're destroyed, the demons. All right. Why do we put this chart up here? This allows us to understand what's going on in the world today. Let's take an example from the past. All right. In other words, we're going to see what the adversaries had to do. The Russian Revolution in 1917. Hey, well, it was just a revolution. What do we think? We believe that was the demons. Why do we say that? What came out of communism? What's their goal? Was to destroy. They destroyed religion in Russia. They almost wiped out the Roman Orthodox Church. Again, how did Satan react to that? At first, he was kind of like, well, you know, we need to talk about this, guys. And then he started fighting them. The Pope started having all sorts of things. We need to go after communism. The Pope aligned himself with Hitler. Why? There's a book called Hitler's Pope. It's a very interesting book. He aligned himself with Hitler. Why? Because he wanted him to go after communism. And he did. And that was Hitler's downfall. He put two fronts out there. He went after Russia and he also went after England. He should have only went after one. But he wanted to get that communism. And the visions of Fatima talked about communism. So we see Satan was fighting the demons when they were out doing this stuff. It wasn't our Lord that created the Russian revolutions. We only have three powers, so it had to be the demons. The people, as we discussed, they had a response. Satan's response in the visions of Fatima. And eventually it was destroyed. And who destroyed them? With the help of the United States, who destroyed them? The papacy. Pope John Paul. Started in Poland and just went across. So we see, we can take a look at these things of the earth and say, oh, you know what? That's got fingerprints all over it. From the demons, Satan, and the activities. Now, the Lord just kind of stands back and says, okay, you keep destroying yourself. This is good. All right? So when we look at this, this is how we look at what they're doing, what their methods are, what their intentions are. Now, I don't know if the brethren saw this in the news or not. This young girl here, why does she have a knife and a hatchet in her hand? All right? Well, if you're not aware of this, this young girl was caught on video. She was protecting her sister from a Muslim that was trying to rape her. They arrested her because she had weapons on her. All right? Well, why would they do that? So the migrant crisis in Europe, how do we describe it? Well, where do the people come from, most of the migrants come from? From Muslim countries. Well, why would you do that? Well, what are they doing? They're destroying Christianity. They're buying old churches and converting them into mosques over there. Why would Satan do that? Well, Satan wouldn't do that. He wants to bolster up the Protestants and the Catholics. It's the demons that are doing this. They've had such an increase in rapes in England. In the last 5 years, almost a million women have been raped. And young children, young girls. Again, let's take a look at our model. Would this be a part of our Lord? No, our Lord wouldn't do something like this. Would Satan do that? No. Satan wants a stable society. Otherwise, the papacy doesn't work without a stable society. But the demons are out there doing this to him. And he's trying to fight him on it. Now, recently, because of this young girl, Trump came back and said, you guys are losing it in Europe. You need to get a handle. That's what he told Starmer when he came to visit him. He said, you guys are going to destroy it all. And Starmer went back and started seeing what he could do. They started working on the migrant crisis. In other words, Trump's saying, hey, get this fixed. Now, is he working for Satan? He may not know it, but that's what Satan wants done. All right. Putin's response. He quoted a scripture. Putin is a big one on the Russian Orthodox Church. When he came to see Trump in Alaska, he brought along gifts to the Russian Orthodox prelate there. He said, "Oh, here, let's pray together." Now, is he a Christian? I don't think so. Well, he might be a nominal Christian. When he was asked, they said, "You know, you used to be part of the KGB. How can you say you're a Christian and you're part of the KGB?" He says, "Let the first one with sin cast the first stone." He quoted Scripture. So even Satan quotes Scripture. Again, brethren, this is how we can take a look at this model and say, who's involved, what's the motives, and what are the methods they're using? All right. This is a T-shirt you can buy in England. Look at this. One cross, two guardians. One faith, one Savior. Who's on this side? That's the Lion of England. And on this is the American Eagle. This is the fusion that we've been looking for, brethren, of church and state. It's not 100%. The T-shirt doesn't do that. But it's a start. I thought about buying one of these just to have it. It would be so cool to have. Not that I agree with it, but it's another fulfillment of what we see in front of us. It's happening. They're in the streets. They're singing hymns in the streets. Those million people, they were singing hymns. The Pope and the King of England are going to go next week. I think it's next week or the week after next. They're going to pray in the Sistine Chapel together. Never happened before, ever. Satan's getting the old band back. He wants them to come back. Come back to mama. In the 1990s, there were three contracts that were signed between the Church of England and the Church of Rome. You can look them up. It's under the... I'll get the website for you. If you're interested, let me know. There's a website you can go to in the Church of England. They show you. And you can read the contracts. And in there is asked, can we have apostolic succession for the Protestants? Just what Brother Russell said they would ask for. And they asked for it. And they said, yeah, we'll give that to you. So now when a Lutheran minister or an Anglican in a Lutheran minister now wants to be installed, an Anglican has to come and lay hands on him to pass off the apostolic succession. Just like Brother Russell said they would. Now, there was a little problem, and that was that they did not want to make Mary a co-redemptor. That just sounds disgusting. I'm sure Mary wouldn't like it either. But the point is, that's the pricks of this scroll coming together. It was too far for the Anglicans to say, yeah, we'll make her a co-redemptor. All right. Let's go on. Something that brethren have heard about. This is woke ideology. Brethren have heard about that. This is pure demonism. Who's fighting woke ideology? Well, the Trump administration's pushing it. Why? Because the evangelicals were on his neck saying, you better do this. And the Catholics are saying, you better stop this. This is going to destroy us. Let me introduce you here in this picture at a child book reading was Ozias Mochi. He calls himself the modern Moloch. Remember Moloch from the Bible? He's a modern Moloch, he calls himself. And that's why he has the coming out of his head and everything else. Pure demonic actions, trying to convert children. Transgender, all these different things we see about us. This is all demonic. How do we know that? What does it say in Jude 6 through 8? Exactly describes this type of activity. So when we see these things on the news, we can say, okay, look at that. The demons have gone one too far, and now they're going after them. Because Satan's like, guys, you're going to ruin this whole thing. All right, going back again. Would our Lord be part of this? No. Would Satan? No. Satan killed homosexuals during the Dark Ages. He knows it destroys societies. He learned that from Sodom and Gomorrah. He learned it from what happened to the Greeks. He learned what happened to the Medo-Persians, and he learned what happened to the Romans. He knows you can't have that in a society. So it's not that he's a better person than the demons. He just knows it doesn't work. So he's not going to be part of this. That leaves the demons. Remember, Brother Russell was talking about how they would have different groups that would go out causing havoc? These are we just highlighted these different groups going out causing havoc. So you've got the Muslims over here doing this, and you've got the woke people over here doing this, and you've got the people over here doing this, and so on, so on, so on, and so forth. Again, we need to keep ourselves out of this. We're just watching. We're not participating. We're watching. All right, let's read through Jude again, because this is important. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains of darkness until the judgment of the great day, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities all about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. And that just explained what we were just talking about. And set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. This is not talked about by Satan. Satan's not described this way. It's the demons that are described this way. They're taking a different approach than Satan. LGBTQ++, homosexuality, demon Satan worship, breakdown of the family. They want the family broke down. You say, well, was Satan behind that? Well, let me ask you, when you were growing up, who always had the big families? It was the Catholics. Satan wants more followers. Single-parent homes. Child abuse. It's interesting that when the Now movement started, they were surprised that the CIA wanted to fund them. National Organization of Women. Gloria Steinem said, well, we didn't know why the CIA wanted to give us money, but they did. She wrote that in her book. Why? Because if they can break down the household, it will increase people out in the workforce, pushing women out to work. It increased the money supply, and it kept the fiat system from failing. So, Brian, we want to bring up this scripture here, and we're going to read through this. And this was a scripture that helped me understand something about the four winds I couldn't get in my head. Why would anybody destroy something they were using? If I drive my car back and forth to work every day, why would I take an axe to it and start chopping up the tires and everything else so I couldn't use it? Why would I do that? The demons and Satan are not stupid. Well, this scripture, I finally figured it out. And they brought him unto him. This is a young man that was demon-possessed. And they brought him to him, to our Lord. And when he saw him, straight away the spirit tear him. What does that mean? The spirit started physically hurting him. And he fell to the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child, and oft times he has cast himself into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father, the child, cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, in other words, the Lord had an opportunity to show more people what was going on, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was one that was dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Now, why do we care about that in our conversation of watching? This is a wonderful experience where our Lord took an opportunity, not by what he did, not by what he said, but the circumstances in which he allowed to transpire to give us a lesson. And that was, these demons We're like, fine, I have to leave him? Well, then I'm going to tear him up on the way out. I'm going to kill him. If I can't throw him in the fire and kill him, if I can't throw him in the water and throw him, I'm just going to rip his innards out and he's going to be dead. Now, Lord healed him. Now, that same demon is still alive today. They get to the point where they say, fine, if you're going to destroy us, and I'm taking the whole system with me, and that's why the four winds become effective. And that's why they destroy everything. So once we see their character, we can figure out why the four winds happen. They're going to destroy because they're on their way out. Fine, you're going to treat us this way? All right, we're taking you down. In summary, brethren, we went through a lot today, and there's a lot more we can go. What we wanted to give you was a basis of something that we've been using, and that is to try to look at the events of today and not look at them as just, oh, well, it's a news article. But try to fit them into what we've been given by Brother Russell of what's going on. And be encouraged that, yes, there is a battle going on right now. And, yes, there's a lot of people that are going to be hurt. And sometimes in our hearts we say, oh, my gosh, why do you have to have a million women raped in England? That is hard to even fathom. Major stadiums, you see full of people. It's only about 60,000 people. Maybe 70 in a large stadium. We're talking about almost 15 times that of women that have been abused. Why would the Lord have that? God made the mind. He made the heart. He can fix it. That's our faith. So when we see these things, we don't go, oh, he's going to be fixed. We say, oh my gosh, Lord, thank you. Forgive me the perspective that those women will receive peace one day, that those young children will be healed. It hurts to see the things that are going on the earth, but we have to watch. We have to put that aside. We have to put that emotion aside and say, you know what, my job is to watch and put it in perspective. That to be faithful, we must use this harvest message. And that's my perspective, but that comes from a perspective of watching people for 50 years almost, of making good and bad decisions. Those that I've seen that had the most wonderful characters that are developed, ones that I feel have been faithful, were the ones that held on to Brother Russell. Others that didn't take his advice, we've seen some of them leave the truth completely. Friends of us, very dear, we had lots of fellowship with, just say, I'm giving up. It's been our experience that those that make themselves faithful, that have been helpful to those on their way out, have been those that have held to the harvest message. But your experience might be different, but I think it's probably not. We discussed a very small subset of what we're watching to see. Brethren, we need to take a look and see what Brother Russell had to say about things. I'll give you a perfect example. If any brethren watching what's happening in the commercial real estate market. So in the commercial real estate market right now, they have these big high-rises, right? In big downtown areas. They had one in Texas, I think it was in Austin, that 3 years ago sold for $120 million. $120 million. Brother Mark, who cares? You know, it's a building. Seriously. Well, it sold this week for $5 million. Because nobody's going into the office anymore. I work from home every day. I log into not Zoom, but something like Zoom. It's Teams. And every day my team comes in from around the world. We have people in England. We have people, you know, in Florida. And we all work together. I never leave my house. What a blessing. But it's destroying it. See, well, Brother Mark, who cares? We know the financial systems are going to collapse. What's the matter? Brother Russell, in 41 or 42 of the fourth volume, says that one of the first things to go would be insurance companies. Who is the biggest buyer of commercial real estate? Insurance companies. They need a long-term stretch on the money. So they buy these huge buildings. And what's happening to them? Someone took a $100 million bath on that. $100 million. You can't do that forever. And now it's going everywhere. Xerox building in San Francisco, the same thing. All over the place. So Brother Russell was right. The insurance companies are going to have a horrible time. Again, taking what Brother Russell says in the fourth volume, going out and saying, okay, what's happening? And you can see and put those two together. And talk among each other. Find something and share it. Because not all of us have the information. So he's here. Again, we gave a method we hope you can use. And brethren, we're just watching a movie. We're just watching a movie. So it doesn't matter what happens in the news. Because the suffering's going to be fixed. The politicians are going to be there what they are. It doesn't matter. We don't take sides. We've got one side we take, right? We're on the winning side. We're going to win, brethren. Lord, add his blessing to the words we've given, and we hope they've been a help.